Good morning. Good morning, South Coast. You got your snow. I hope you're happy. It wasn't a lot of it. It's really cold out there. It was like 12 degrees this morning when I woke up. This is what you Democrats wanted with that ocean energy. Try to stop global warming. This is what you get. Miserable. Miserable. Anyway. Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. I guess it was great. I don't know. I'm always an optimist. I lost someone very special to me. My godfather died, David Pendergast of Mattapoisett. Many of you probably knew him. He's down the boatyard a lot and good guy. He was instrumental in my recovery from COVID, and he died of cancer. He had a great life. You know, it's this time. Now, you guys know, I told you before, I have to avoid big crowds. That's why you don't see me at political fundraisers, funerals, wakes, things like that. My immune system's already compromised, and it's how I'm going to have to live the rest of my life, basically, should I be lucky enough to get a transplant. Because your immune system is, at least for a while, is very compromised. But mine right now, I can't get sick, and when I get sick, I have to take a lot of time off. You've been with me since the beginning. But this is the time when it really hurts. Although my godfather would certainly understand, you can't compromise your health for a social occasion, even if it is a wake or a funeral. But anyway, and then we had that brutal terrorist attack. I think it's a terrorist attack at Brown University. I got home from dialysis. I got a text message from my friend Lenny Mills, the Rehoboth Selectman, who does a lot of business in Rhode Island. He texted me, Rhode Island State Police, saying there's an active shooter at Brown University. So, put on the news. And it was wild, right? I thought Channel 12 did a fantastic job covering it. And when they announced that they had a person of interest, and then they were unlocking the city, blowing out the perimeter, right? I mean, you know, even if you never had any experience in the military or law enforcement, when you have an event like that, they create a perimeter. They lock down the bus stations, the airport, stuff like that. Start trying to close the perimeter around the crime scene to try to lock in the suspect. And I got to tell you something. That FBI agent from the Boston office, he took right to the microphones. If you didn't see it, this is your FBI. This is what we do. It was a whole lot of bragging. Meanwhile, they didn't have the person, obviously. I got up this morning about 5 o'clock, put on the news to learn that it wasn't over, that the suspect is still out there. Guys, we're really close to Brown University. I've been there a bunch of times. One of the members of the leadership team here is a graduate of Brown University. My cousin Monica is a graduate of Brown University. The first person I thought about was, well, the family, Mayor Mitchell's family. I thought his daughter was still going to Brown University. I waited a little while because I figured he was overwhelmed. Well, you know, if his daughter was there. But it turns out she graduated last year, which I guess I did know. I knew, but it wasn't in the front of my mind. So when I texted the mayor about 9:30 at night with my thoughts, he said to me, Natalie already graduated, you know. So she wasn't there. But that was the first family I started thinking about was the Mitchell family, because I thought his daughter was still a student at Brown University. Thankfully, she is not. But Providence law enforcement, federal law enforcement, they've all got a lot to answer to for. The Rhode Island State Police. I mean, that guy, I'm assuming it's a man who did the shooting, because it's rarely women. If they're women, they've transitioned, you know. They're never going to get him now, I wouldn't think. They're never going to get him. And if they do, they'll be able to point to the fact that they arrested a guy, released his name, leaked his name anyway, in a hotel room in Coventry. I mean, I feel bad for all the students at Brown University, the staff. I mean, that's just a horrendous mass shooting. Absolutely outrageous. And the way that FBI agent was out there bragging, and it was wrong. The governor, the attorney general, the mayor, the chief of police. Hey, they hired a bilingual chief of police, and yet that wasn't enough, right? When I heard him speaking in Spanish, I thought, well, they got the case closed. You know, don't worry about it. They got a bilingual chief. I mean, you know, multiple languages, that's always important. Turns out that even that wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. All right. Big developments politically over the weekend. We'll have Tim Dunn joining us in the 10 o'clock hour. Talk about all the work he's been doing at the Boston Herald. I know he was here with Barry on Friday, but the weekend brought even more news. So Tim Dunn will be here in the 10 o'clock hour. Amy Cannavale, the chair of the Republican Party of Massachusetts, will be here at 9:30. The rest of the time will be for you, my audience, open phones. So I can get on the air. I see you on hold. You know, it's that magical time of the year here on the South Coast when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special somebody on your list has champagne dreams, but your wallet's empty. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back. They are paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter to Mid-City Scrap. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your sight. They'll get it out of your yard. And you'll get the cash you need for the Christmas gifts that you want to buy. So that means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's face it, more eggnogs, right? More eggnog. Mid-City Scrap today. Give them a call or stop by their headquarters, 548 State Road in Westport. You really can't miss it. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winter long. We'll take a break and then we'll be back. I see you on hold. Stay there. 508-996-05. How was your weekend? What's on your mind? Let's talk about it.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
As soon as you are able, woman, I am weak.
That's right. You got to roll with the changes. You got to roll with the changes. And you got to shovel your walkway today. You don't want to be the person that doesn't shovel their walkway. You want to make sure you do that. And salt it and all that stuff. Because it's going to be cold all day. So, and if you, for some reason, can't do it, make sure you call somebody to do it for you. Pay them whatever you got to do. It's going to not melt on it. Normally, we get snow like this and ice like this, and it goes away because of the Republicans. But since the Democrats curbed global warming, we have to do it ourselves. So it's going to cost you more money because of the Democrats. Obviously, I'm kind of joking, but not really. Lot on the table. Lot of stuff happened over the weekend locally. Some of it will emerge throughout the day here and the week here on this program. Major, major shift in political, the political fortunes locally. Amazing stuff. And I'll be leaking it out to you, dribbling it out to you today and throughout the rest of the week. 508-996-0500 so I can get on the program. We have people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? My condolences to the passing away of your godfather.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
My thoughts and prayers to you and your family. Very troubling and alarming what happened at Brown University.
Yes.
This morning I was listening to Boston Station, the same station Howie Carr broadcasts out of.
Yep.
Jeff Cooner of the Cooner Report. He was saying that the news is being suppressed by Providence radio stations and TV stations. He's saying that some of the students heard a man shouting in Arabic and they started opening fire. And another thing he went on to say is one of the students that was killed was a female student. She belonged to the student Republican group in Brown University. I don't know if there's anything, any connection there. But I was, he had another caller that called in from Rhode Island and talked about, you know, the not being able to locate the suspect. And he was talking about Chief Perez, which is the Providence police chief.
Yes.
He was selected by the current mayor, Mayor Smiley. And he said there was another police candidate who had far more experience. He was trained in Washington, D.C. at the FBI Institute, if that's the right word for it. And, you know, had a lot of qualifications. He was turned down because, you know, DEI and trying to get someone there that's Latino. That's what it was said. But we haven't heard a thing. I mean, there's two individuals that were detained and that's not the person that they're looking for. And I don't know if you've seen the video on TV, a guy dressed all, you know, with a black jacket, black pants, black shoes, and
I did see
winter
that
hat. You know,
I did see that guy.
But that would have been
typical of what you would be wearing: hat, heavy coat. It was really cold out Saturday.
Right. But if students heard, like Jeff Cooner was saying,
right.
Students were saying they heard someone shouting in Arabic and open fire, and he's a Muslim, could be a Muslim terrorist, and if that they're trying to suppress that in the Providence media, I don't know. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, because the Democrats do protect terrorists. Who knows? But I hope more news comes out. But that guy's on the loose. And he could be killing other people. Who knows where?
No, I agree with you. Look, the guy is a serious threat, obviously. And the fact that he was allowed to escape, I mean, that's a screw-up on the FBI, the DEA, all the federal agencies were there, as well as Chief Perez and the state police and the attorney general, all of them. Screw-up on
right,
all their
and one last. One last thing, Chris, a guy that called in for Rhode Island said, too, there's cameras everywhere in Providence. I mean, you blow your nose in the car and go through a red light, they're going to give you a ticket.
Yes.
How there's no images further than that guy walking around the corner. I just don't buy it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. How come Brown University didn't have more cameras? And that maybe they do, and maybe they're not showing it for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not going to criticize the the investigative techniques. In other words, the public doesn't necessarily need to know everything at this moment. We know that. So,
right.
But why?
Well, it's, you know something, yeah, Chris? If it's what Jeff Kooner said, the students heard someone shouting Aramaic, and I mean Arabic, and shooting up the place as a terrorist, and they're trying to probably suppress that from the public.
Well, here's the thing.
That could be.
Here's the thing. Unless they knew Arabic, how would they be able to distinguish? In other words, what I think a more accurate way to describe it, unless the Arabic speakers, is they heard a foreign language. Or maybe they heard Ali Akbar, right?
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What he said. I couldn't think of exactly, but that's what Jeff Kooner said. I don't know.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of things that we don't know about.
Well, as soon as I know something that I'm confident in, I will certainly share it with
you. All right, I appreciate that, Chris.
Thank you, my friend, as always.
I appreciate it. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. As soon as I hear something, I will certainly share it with you. If I'm confident in it, that's what I would do. Would it surprise you if on the eve of Hanukkah that it was a foreign terrorist or a foreign-inspired terrorist or a domestic terrorist of the Muslim brand? Would it surprise you? Wouldn't surprise me. Look what happened in Australia as well. But at this time, we don't know what happened. Well, we know what happened at Brown. We don't know who did it. We know that the person they had in custody has been released. So the perimeter was lifted. The city was opened up again. People were able to travel, including the assailant from Brown University. All right. But we got a whole lot of other things going on here in the region. We're now joined by Amy Cannavale, the chairperson of the Republican Party, the ever-growing Republican Party. Good morning, Chairman Amy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Thank you. And first, I just want to start out and offer our prayers to those families impacted by the shooting at Brown, really tragic. And hopefully our law enforcement will get to the bottom of what's happened and bring the perpetrator to justice.
No, I agree with you, Amy. I really do. It's right around the corner here. A lot of people, yep, in including senior management here, are attendees of Brownie and Brown University. So it's a big deal, obviously. And anytime anybody gets shot, it's a big deal, unless you're the governor of Massachusetts, in which case you make him a senior member of your staff, the assailant. Amy Cannavale, the governor of Massachusetts, we need to replace her. That's part of your mission for the next couple of years. We have a great team taking shape here now, three people in the race. The convention is coming up, and more people are looking at the Republican Party as a hope for the future. Talk about that.
Yeah, thanks very much. We do have a great team lined up to challenge Maura Healey. We have three strong Republican candidates. I know they've all been down to Bristol County campaigning, getting to know people on the ground and talking about their platform and what they would do different than our incumbent governor. Which is a lot, and really try to bring integrity and accountability back to the corner office. So that's at the top of the ticket. And then, you know, locally in Bristol County, countywide, I want to mention a call out to Seth Aiken. He just announced his campaign for district attorney in the last week or so with formal events, getting around the county, talking about running as a Republican. First Republican in quite some time that we've had running for DA. So we're really excited about his candidacy. And then at the local level, we've had Jesse St. Gelais, who ran previously as an independent, now is a Republican in the 8th Bristol. He just had an event this past week, and I'm told I missed it. But he had over 225 supporters. We have not seen this level of support in many, many years for the Republican Party. And I think it just shows that, you know, there's a groundswell of people out there who want to see things done differently at our government, more accountability, and they're ready for a change. We have other candidates as well. And I know you may have had a hand in this too, but we had a New Bedford ward counselor.
Yes.
It just become a Republican. Leo, I'm told over the weekend, and I intend to reach out to him this week and welcome him to the party. And I think, you know, just another example of where we see elected officials, just regular people, just fed up with these policies of the Democratic Party that it takes people for granted, and it, you know, does not have accountability to taxpayers in mind. And frankly, even common sense, as we've seen, you know, with Governor Maura Healey and some of the cronies that she's appointed, just blatantly ignoring the law, drug trafficking out of their office. I mean, you couldn't even write a script, I think, that would be
the
level of the corruption that we've seen, you know, right at the governor's level. It's unbelievable. The Suffolk County Sheriff we saw indicted, you know, it just up and down the ticket. So we need change. And I'm so grateful for everything that's happening in Bristol County to try to change the way we're doing business in Massachusetts.
We have Amy Carnevale. And of course, as she just mentioned, Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Councilor, flipped to the Republican Party over the weekend, in part because sick of the crazy policies of the Democrat Party. He didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left Leo and a lot of other people. I mean, Ward 1 went strong for Trump. Ward 2 went strong for Trump. A lot of the parts of the city went very strong for Trump. And before that, they were very pro Charlie Baker. So it's not just Trump, not just Baker. It's the whole range of Republican policies that are attracting people. Amy, also, I believe we have an attorney general candidate. Is that possible?
We do not have an announcement yet for attorney general. So I don't want to get ahead of that announcement. I think it's coming soon.
Okay.
Maybe we could join you another week or so. We can talk about that.
That would be great, Amy. We have a lot of people ringing. How can people get involved, like Leo Choquette did, like Sean Oliver has, in the Republican Party? What do they do? What's the first step? What's the website?
So our website is massgop.com. They can feel free to email me directly. It's amy@massgop.com. Either way, if you know who your state committee members are, they're 80 men and women who represent at the county level to the party. If you know who they are, you can reach out to them. In Bristol County, locally, it's Bob McConnell and Joanne Hodgson, both of whom do a great job on the ground.
Yes.
If you don't know, if you happen to know your town committee or your city committee leadership, you can reach out to them. But if you don't know, just check out our website. We do have all the organized committees listed on our website, along with contact information for those state committee members. I'll also note, and you previewed it a bit, we do have our state convention coming up at the end of April. It's April 25th. It'll be held in Worcester at the DCU Center. We are very excited for this convention, and you're seeing all these town committees and ward committees in the cities get organized in anticipation of the convention. Anybody who's interested in being a delegate, and that's going to hear the speeches, hearing and meeting our candidates face-to-face, and then any races where there's primaries, you'll actually get to vote on who you think should represent the Republican Party on the ballot in next September. It's a great opportunity. And the way to go as a delegate is to contact either your ward or your town committee chair. And again, if you don't know who that is, just reach out to me. I'm happy to put you in touch. And if you don't have a ward or town organized, we can help you form one because there's lots of committees are getting organized between now and the end of December in order to get ready for the convention and send people.
We're speaking with Amy Carnevale, the chair of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts. Hardworking chairman. I mean, really, the party is so excited. People are, there's all kinds of new blood joining the party. It's really an amazing time to be a Republican.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to mention, too, you had asked about AG. We do have a candidate just announced for treasurer in the last week.
Treasurer, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you were referring to that. So that's Elizabeth Dion. Elizabeth has been chair of our local board of selectmen in Belmont. So locally elected official. And again, she was chair of the selectmen. So she has stepped down a couple of weeks ago in order to focus on her run for treasurer. And she's an incredibly accomplished individual. She's an attorney, hardworking, fiscally strong message that she plans to deliver for the Commonwealth, and frankly, competence. That is an issue in office that competence is really important.
Yes.
As treasurer of the Commonwealth, one of the responsibilities is you oversee the Cannabis Commission. And we've seen that office has just been in the news since it's really been established.
Yes.
Just a few years ago after that ballot initiative passed for mismanagement. The head of the Cannabis Commission, Shannon O'Brien, was dismissed, fired by the treasurer, and she sued to get her job back, and the courts found in her favor. So this just shows that our current treasurer, Deb Goldberg, another example of somebody who's been in office too long and, frankly, not well qualified for the position for which she holds. So Elizabeth is going to be a breath of fresh air. She's, again, extraordinarily competent, and I think you'll hear a lot about her in the coming weeks.
On the national level, of course, John Deaton secured the nomination of the party. Mm-hmm. Kind of a unique thing. The state committee voted in favor of John Deaton. I supported that because I think John's a fantastic candidate. He's spent a lot of time down here on this radio station. Talk about John Deaton.
Yeah, John's a great candidate. Obviously, you know, he has the experience of running once already. And we often say in Massachusetts, as a Republican, you do need that experience of having run once, building that base of support and that fundraising base, especially when you're thinking about running statewide. It does take financial resources to get your message out over the Democrats, because we know the media statewide is not going to give us any breaks as Republicans. So you do need to be effective at building not only that grassroots base for support and volunteers, but a donor base as well. And I think John, you know, really kind of earned his stripes going through a primary 2 years ago. One of the disadvantages we have in Massachusetts as Republicans is we have a very late primary, and that's really designed to help incumbents. So the yes. Democrats here in the state will enact any law that protects themselves. And the late primary, which is typically the first or second Tuesday in September, depending on where Labor Day falls, that's very late for a candidate who's in a primary then to turn around and run a general election campaign statewide. And so that was the argument that John made before the Republican State Committee. He said that 2 years ago it was extremely difficult for him to appeal nationally for donor support and then to raise the money to compete here in Massachusetts with that late primary. So John can now work on that now, raising the money and also, you know, starting that media campaign against Ed Markey now, as opposed to, you know, competing against Republicans now and then turning to the Democrat in September. So you're going to start to see ads from John, I think, very soon, focused on Ed Markey and why John Deaton would be a better U.S. senator for us than Ed Markey.
Amy Cannavale, I really appreciate you making time for us this cold morning. One more time, give us how people can get in touch with you and how they can learn more about the Republican Party here in Mass.
Our website is massgop.com, and they can reach out to me directly by email at amy@massgop.com.
Thank you so much, my friend. That's Amy Cannavale, chair of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts, a big tent party. And, of course, as she said, she's going to reach out later this week to some point this week to Leo Choquette, the latest elected official to become a Republican. In part because of the positive Republican message, but also in part because of the scandals and the foolishness of the Democrat Party. Welcome to the party, Leo Choquette. You know, great way to celebrate is going to Carter's Clothing. For 78 years, Carter's Clothing has been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And get new shoes there. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top-name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Best way to find out is to go to the store. Go and check it out. Very easy to go to Carter's because they have free parking, their own parking lot. Pull in, do the shopping that you need to do with a peace of mind of knowing you're not going to come out with a parking ticket or have your car towed away. They wouldn't do that to you. Free parking at both locations, downtown New Bedford and Plymouth Ave in Fall River. You know, Carter's Clothing has something for everyone. With over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels and hoodies, and jackets and vests, perfect for winter. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit them online at cartersma.com. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out late every weekend. They're talking about you and it's bringing me down. But I know the neighborhood, and talk is cheap when the story is good.
That's true, Ario Speedwagon. That's true. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Sackfield.
Hey, good morning, Gilly. What's going on?
You know, I'm sure you listened part of Berger's speech on our radio this morning with him, right?
I heard some of that, yes.
Okay, you know, Barry Sylvia called in, okay, and Barry has called in before and asked him for some numbers.
Yeah, some basic stuff, really.
Like, basically, he should know. Okay, so he calls in, and he was polite as anything. But, you know, Berger's got that attitude
yes.
to throw those little digs in there. You know, because I called in and talked about where he was praising Linda Moran and everything, and I just mentioned about how she treated Ian when he was leaving the presidentship, that Maria just had to give the speech, that Linda didn't even clap for Ian. She just sat there. So, but that's not what I want to bring up. But when Barry Sylvia, that's the second time I heard him ask him for numbers.
Basic numbers,
him,
yeah.
Do you know what the percentage is? And he said again, no. All right? He says, why don't you tell us?
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. Barry Sylvia took him to school, okay, in a polite way.
Yes.
But he throws those digs in there. How can you not know something as the president of the city council? Can you explain? After a caller, let's not say it's Barry, anybody, calls numerous times and ask for you to get him those numbers, and you still haven't got them. How is that possible?
Well, because Burgo is arrogant and pretty ignorant, really. And he doesn't like Barry because Barry wasn't with him in other previous contests, and he holds it against Barry, holds it against everybody, because he's a limited guy.
Well, you know, when you say he's limited and all that, he's not the only one on that city council that's been president, and they're limited. If you put their right views together, you'd probably come up minus. But I love what Barry did to him, and he brought out the facts and all that. But Barry, you took him to school. Congratulations. Have a nice day, Chris.
Thanks for the call, Gilly. I do appreciate it. No, Barry Sylvia's a gentleman. He's a very smart guy. Lives in the world of finance. And he was an appointed official, chairman of the Board of Appeals in the city of New Bedford. And the fact that Burgo dismisses him is probably not smart for Burgo. Anyway, take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. Boy, Ario Speedwagon's really hitting it this morning just where it needs to go. You know, this holiday season, Shooting Supplies has the deals that you need. So you need to go to Shooting Supply. Listen to this. Save $90 on Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ. Now, just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365 X Macro is in stock. It's not in stock in other stores, but it's in stock at Shooting Supply. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with a lifetime warranty is just $219 after the rebate. And you can get 5 1/2 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. Gift cards are available for those hard to buy sportsmen. You do not need an FID to go to Shooting Supply and get a gift card. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply, located 848 State Road in Westport, right on Route 6, or go to shootingsupply.com. It's a great place to go. Shooting Supply, great place to go. So, we are monitoring the shooting down at Brown University. The manhunt continues. I think the FBI certainly has egg on its face. The mayor of Providence, who I did think was doing a great job managing his city during the crisis, they've got egg on their face. His hand-selected chief of police certainly got egg on his face. Rhode Island political leadership, the state police, one of the finest organizations in the world, really, as far as state police go. But amazing that they grabbed the wrong person, lifted the perimeter, allowed movement in the city to include, obviously, the perpetrator of that horrible shooting at Brown University. But boy, that FBI agent, he stepped right up to the microphone bragging away. And now, the man.